Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? Maybe curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
So hello everybody and welcome to another China Business Cast. This is episode 32 and today we're hosting Thomas Graziani. And obviously Mike is here as well. Hey Mike.
Hey Shlomo, how's it going?
I'm great. I feel like I'm interviewing you, but actually you're co-hosting.
Yeah, well, I'm still in the Chinese New Year cloud right now.
For sure. I guess so. So I don't know if you guys remember, but on the last episode, Mike just had a baby girl. Her name is Maggie. How's it going with that?
It's good. It's good. We're just chatting before the recording and she doesn't like me recording podcasts while she's sleeping. So, but yeah, she's great. She's healthy.
Yeah, she was making some background noise.
Sleeping and being a great, great little baby. So it's good.
So that's all your Chinese New Year plans for now?
Yeah, it's just been staying at home. I watched Aladdin, the movie Aladdin. That was kind of like the highlight.
That's an old one.
Nobody else in the family has seen it, so I was kind of reliving it and everybody else was enjoying it.
Nice. Okay. I had a... So I didn't expect that, but eventually I found myself with my wife and baby on a Chinese New Year holiday meal. So that was a lot of fun with friends and real Chinese food that you can't get in Israel. So that's that was a real something. Because even Chinese restaurants in Israel, they don't really sell the real Chinese food. It's kind of more of, maybe it's more of a southern China, I'm not sure. But it's that's the way it is, or it's Thai food or stuff like that. But the real, let's say, Beijing food, that's not that. So that was fun having. And also, I guess that's that's what Chinese people do on Chinese New Year. I mean, you don't really go to parties. You stay at home and stay with the family. And that's how it felt. I guess you have the same experience from previous years.
Yeah. It's just eating and lots of family staying over and watching TV and snacks.
Yeah, the national TV broadcast that you can't get anything else in China at that time.
Yeah, nothing's open. So,
by the way, did you participate in this crazy shake thing that was on TV with WeChat?
Not me. I don't want to. I don't know. I'm trying to be less addicted to my phone, I guess. I mean, there were some stories we read, you know, there were some people did thousands of these, and you know, red packets or red envelopes, and you know, it actually leads in perfectly to our interview today. Because WeChat is taking over China. And yeah, they did a really great job for the last few years with these red envelopes. I had to even lend money to some of my friends that didn't have their bank accounts connected so that they could send red envelopes around. And I did a little bit, but I was busy watching Aladdin, so I didn't do too much red, red pockets.
These are fun. The red envelopes in WeChat are fun, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, let's talk some more business. But first, I want to hear more of your book launch because that was also announced on the last episode.
Yeah,
so I'm interested to know how it went.
Yeah, I did the launch and I did the 5-day Kindle free promotion to get everybody to have something to do during Chinese New Year. So we're getting a few reviews on Amazon, which is awesome, and people are liking it. And I did a little bit of video interviews with some of my top fans and people, they like the real story. I mean, I didn't really sugarcoat it. I put the good, the bad, the ugly, the love story, all of it in there. So it's my favorite part is just actually like people actually reading it and actually talking to me about parts of the book. So, and it's helped. I mean, people I don't, of course, there's my friends and family have read it, but even people I don't know have come out and told me they enjoyed learning about the real experiences of, you know, of China startups.
Wow, that's great. That's great that you get reviews and things like that from people you don't know and they get to know you and they also give their really true opinion about this. You know that they're not biased. They're really saying what they're thinking.
Yep. It's awesome. It's really a good, I mean, it's, I think any author's favorite part is to actually hear what people, you know, that you don't even know, like, get out of the book, and, you know, they can kind of step into your mind and understand, you know, a perspective that you have.
Nice.
Cool. So now more China tech stuff. We have Walk the Chat. Thomas, as you mentioned earlier in the show, he's our WeChat guru, always given great articles and blogs and the internet about WeChat marketing. And he's the head of the agency Walk the Chat. So he's going to give us some insights about how to do WeChat marketing for your business. And we try to throw him some curveballs and stuff and get some real insights. And he did a great job. So I think it's going to be a really valuable one for you guys to listen to.
Cool. Let's dive in.
Okay.
Looking for other China business podcasts? Then check out limitlesslaowai.com, where you'll discover engaging interviews with international business leaders all around the country. Tune in to find success faster in China.
So hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. Mike is here with me, as always, or almost always. And I'm very glad to be here and also host Thomas Graziani, which I hope I say your name correctly. But he said he's very easy about it, so that's good.
Yeah, he said it great.
Awesome.
Mike, are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have Thomas here. I've been following his blog, and he's always putting out great information. So thanks again for coming on, Thomas.
I'm going to say a few words about Thomas here. Thomas is a good friend and a colleague, and he came to speak at our meetup in Beijing a few months ago, and being one of the, I'd say, non-official community leaders in Beijing, if I might say that, Thomas. And Thomas is the CEO of Walk the Chat. This is an agency, and they're focusing on helping companies making the most out of WeChat, which is tremendously, tremendously growing as a platform. I'm going to talk about this. So why won't we just jump into the questions?
Sure. Okay, great. So I'll get started. And I'm sure many people are curious the story of how it got started. How did you start Walk the Chat, and why did you choose it? Did you choose to do it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, actually, the decision of starting Walk the Chat came very, very naturally, because I used to work in marketing and strategy in a French company called Schneider Electric, which is doing automation. So not a very sexy industry, but I was working for them in Beijing, and I got to discover online marketing in China through this opportunity. And I started realizing that a lot of companies which are doing marketing on WeChat, or at least which were doing marketing on WeChat back in the days, were actually not very sophisticated and not really leveraging the full potential of the platform in terms of integration of the API, acquisition of users. And that's why I decided to actually step out of Schneider and start this agency, which is focusing on helping companies use WeChat. So we do a bit of consulting, but we do mostly development, HTML5 development, and user acquisition for our clients. And definitely, this has been a very interesting and good choice, I guess, for me, because the company has been going for no more than a year and is doing great. So there was indeed a need for this offer.
Great. Well, definitely there is a need for WeChat. So Thomas, can you share some of the current stats of WeChat? Not all our listeners are coming from China, and maybe they're not aware of what exactly is going on and where this app, or should I say platform, is heading. So if you can give us an overview about this.
Sure. So as of today, WeChat is around 650 million monthly active users, which puts it not very far biggest Western apps such as Facebook or WhatsApp. It's also having very interesting stats in terms of revenues, because more than 80% of the revenue from WeChat is coming from services. And if you compare that with what's going on in the West, more than 90% of the revenue from Facebook is coming from advertising. So we're having a platform which is including messaging, social, but more and more, a lot of additional services which are provided to users. And this started with taxi booking, but then quickly expanded to financial services, payment. Actually, the financial services part is very, very hot for Tencent today. Just this year, Tencent got its banking license to operate as a bank. And this is definitely, most likely, is going to be one of the biggest growth areas for Tencent, payments and financial services. And it's going to strengthen this strategy of WeChat being really a service platform and not as much of a marketing platform as might be its Western equivalents, such as Facebook.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I just you know, took a taxi a little while ago with WeChat and payment and everything. So it's totally, totally amazing. And yeah, I think listeners should just make sure they listen to that. Yeah, Facebook mostly is advertising revenue, right? But yeah, like there's all this financial services and all kinds of stuff you can do in WeChat, which is really amazing. So I think you've already kind of answered this question, but I think it's still worth an answer on its own is, you know, is WeChat taking over, I'd say, China or taking over the whole mobile phone? You know, you did mention Weibo. Is that even really relevant anymore? Is it all a WeChat in China now? And you know, what's your take on that?
I do think Weibo is still here, actually. Weibo did suffer from the appearance of WeChat because a lot of people were using Weibo back then, the way they use WeChat today. And they were using Weibo for personal communication. So when WeChat came around, a lot of people migrated to WeChat because that was the correct platform for this type of interaction. And it gave the feeling that Weibo was dying out. It's true that WeChat did hurt Weibo, but today Weibo is simply what it should be, which is a Twitter equivalent and not in any way something which is closer to Facebook. So Weibo is still around and WeChat is not killing everybody, but it's true it's taking a very, very special space in the app ecosystem. Because if you compare the Western ecosystem and the Chinese ecosystem, in the Western ecosystem, you're going to have a lot of different apps which are going to link to each other through deep linking, and including Facebook will have a lot of apps they're going to own, such as Facebook and Messenger and Paper and WhatsApp and Instagram and so on and so forth. And all of these apps are going to be connected. If you look at the Chinese ecosystem, it's not about connecting a lot of apps. It's about having one app, which is an interface to a lot of other HTML5 applications, which are going to serve some specific needs. So if you, for instance, take the example of Xunfeng, the delivery system in China, if you want to track a parcel in China through Xunfeng, you're most likely not going to use their native app. You're going to follow their WeChat account, and you're going to use this WeChat account to enter the number of the parcel and see where it is at this stage. And this is all built on HTML5 and all integrated to WeChat. So it's not really keeping people from developing apps. It's trying to encourage developers to build HTML5 web apps, which are going to be accessed directly through WeChat. Of course, it's risky for developers because it makes them heavily dependent on Tencent, but it's so much easier for users to actually just scan a QR rather than installing that. That for a lot of users, it's actually a lot of companies and users, it's making life much easier. And actually, just this week, the founder of WeChat announced the release of a new type of account called Yinyonghao, which is going to be the app account. So the idea, and we are not 100% sure at this stage what are going to be exactly the features of these accounts, but they are supposed to behave more like apps, so possibly to be easier to access for users on one single screen, and of course, all based on HTML5 and the WeChat API. So there is this ecosystem which is being built around WeChat, and it's not exactly a monopoly, but it's very strong in its niche. I mean, it's a specific area. But the Chinese ecosystem is much more concentrated than what it is in the West. And if you look at the acquisition history from Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent, it's absolutely insane the number of companies they've been acquiring. acquiring and the number of industries they are present in, including finance, health, food delivery, transportation, and so on and so forth. So there is a really a multiple of a few companies, actually three companies today in China. And you can really see this ecosystem being articulated between Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent. And WeChat is definitely a very strong leg of this multipolar ecosystem, but it's definitely much more concentrated than what you would see in the West. In the West, companies have a tendency to more stick to their specific niche in the market, while in China, each company is trying to really create an ecosystem around it. And WeChat is doing great, but if you look at the work done by Alibaba on the Alipay application, it's also actually quite impressive what's the way they developed it and the way they've been successful at implementing financial services in Alipay. So WeChat might not win on every single aspect, but they are a very, very strong leg of this very, very concentrated ecosystem.
So let's talk a little bit about payments here, because from what you're saying, Tencent or WeChat is making most of their money here from the transactions of all the different services. And just recently, Apple Pay said that they're going into China. And I read one of your interviews saying that that was October 2014. You were saying that this is kind of a dead animal, but I think they're kind of re-entering. So what's your take on this? Any chance there?
Just to clarify one thing. As of today, the revenues from Tencent are not coming mostly, I believe, from payments. They're coming mostly from gaming, from the QQ ecosystem. So a lot of in-app purchases. On the long run, payments is going to be indeed the main contributor. But this is a trend which is still shifting and taking growth from existing gaming ecosystem and having payment being increasingly important contributor to revenues from Tencent. But as of today, actually QQ and gaming in general are still very, very important elements in the balance sheet of Tencent. So to answer your question about Apple Pay, I still believe that they don't really stand a chance in China. Actually, if you look at the hardware side of the issue, a lot of constructors in China, including Xiaomi, are removing NFC, the near field communication technology, from their handsets. The same technology which is used in the case of Apple Pay for this kind of payment transactions. So you can really see a lack of interest from the Chinese users for this type of swipe technologies for payments. And the QR code, which is not really something which is very, very strong in the West, is already something which is very common in terms of processing payments in China. So the question is, why would users who are already using two services, which are going great, which is Alipay and WeChat Payments, would switch to another system, which is by another manufacturer, which requires having an iPhone, so it locks them to a specific type of handset, and which is using a technology which is definitely not popular so far in China. So if there is, I could be wrong and I could be proven wrong, but I consider it quite unlikely in this specific case, because I really don't see a return of NFC becoming a core technology in China. And if only Apple users are going to use this type of technologies, it's unlikely they're going to be able to convince all the physical locations to build the necessary infrastructure to support this kind of payment solutions. So I'm definitely very pessimistic for Apple Pay in China.
Got you. Now, I want to get a little bit more specific for Walk the Chat strategy. And from what I see on WeChat and also in some other channels, you have a very strong content marketing strategy to spread the word around about Walk the Chat with really deep information specifically about WeChat, because this is what you do. But I'd like to know more of what are the things you found that worked for you and what are the things that didn't work for you, because content marketing again is becoming such a big thing now, not only on WeChat, like everywhere. So that might also help to our users or our listeners.
Yeah, well, when it comes to our own marketing, the simple rule we are applying is trying to be useful, which is very different from trying to be interesting or trying to be insightful. So usually when we write something and we believe it's interesting, it's not very popular and the level of pressure is quite low. There are two types of contents that we write, which is kind of popular. One is if it's extremely useful, so extremely applied, how to create a WeChat store in practice, something that our readers can read and then directly use in their daily life to better operate their WeChat account. So this is one part. So the second part is a part which is maybe a bit more on the provocative side. So we would take standpoints which are maybe unusual. So for instance, you mentioned the article we wrote about Apple Pay, and maybe taking such a clear-cut stance on the failure of a specific company or what we believe is going to be the future, it can be controversial, and quite often people ask us to justify some of the statements we make. But these actually are things we really believe in to a large extent. And these being a bit controversial, they also attract attention and readers, and they are positive for marketing. I think the worst thing when it comes to content marketing is to kind of hit in the middle, to write something we think is somehow interesting, but which might end up as being kind of bland. There is a very, very strong competition today for WeChat content marketing. If you look at the statistics of the view rate for accounts, you can see that there is a very steady decrease into the average number of views for accounts on WeChat. So although the successful accounts today are really reaping the benefits from the previous investment, for the new accounts, it's getting more and more difficult to get views. And it's getting more and more difficult to get viewers. And one has to be extremely aggressive. Maybe to extend a bit your question beyond our own marketing, if we look at our clients and the way we are trying to achieve following for our clients, one thing we can notice is that the advertising system from WeChat is not working very well. And that's an understatement. It is very expensive. It has low quality in terms of followers. And it's miles, it's very, very far away from what Facebook is achieving in terms of a very, very efficient targeted marketing using social media and big data.
Interesting.
So from this perspective, that's not something we use a lot. We hope that the Moments advertising system is going to get more targeted. Actually, Tencent announced location-based advertising for Moments so that people can target users in very, very specific locations, like GPS-level location, not just Beijing or Shanghai. There is a decrease of the price of advertising on Moments, which is going now between 200,000 RMB initial investment to 50,000 RMB as initial investment as of Q1.
That's still a lot.
And it's still a lot, yeah, but it's the trend. It's, we can expect that it's going to go most likely by the end of the year. We hope that it's going to be down to 2,000 to 5,000 RMB. That's kind of our optimistic estimate. And so there is this trend of making advertising more available, but still not ideal, far from it. And actually, in practice for our clients, a lot of the advertising we do is through key opinion leaders. So by having bloggers on WeChat, which are helping us promote the products and services from our clients. And this is actually, as of today, the preferred way for us to have high quality targeted marketing on WeChat.
Cool.
Got you.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, and I'm a reader of your content too. It's always very insightful, and I try to tell everybody that's interested in WeChat to check you guys out. It's really good.
Let's be honest. Understanding the business environment in China isn't simple, nor is it for the faint of heart. With China still topping the ranks as a destination for global expansion, demand for tried and true strategies to foster success in the China market are at an all-time high. What if you could glean wisdom, perspective, experience, and understanding by hearing from professionals with combined decades of success in China? Well, that's exactly what Limitless Laowai business podcasts are all about. Longtime expat and entrepreneur Ali Mona sits with seasoned international residents all over the country to capture their stories of successes, failures, tips, and tricks for living and working well in China. With over 150 shows already launched, covering topics ranging from cross-culture management to expat finance, startup law to effective job search and training and so much more, Limitless Lawai Podcast will give you the advantage you need to find success faster. Learn more at www.limitlesslawai.com. That's limitless, LAOWAI.com.
So I'm sure you're asked this like a million times, but every business wants to get an official WeChat account, or actually there's so many different, you just mentioned another one that just was announced, like an app account, but I think there's three different types of official accounts besides the normal personal account. And maybe you can, I know this is a lot to answer, but I guess most of our listeners are small or medium-sized business owners, foreign companies, and maybe there's a follow-up part, but do they need to have a company in China or not? I know there's a way to not be Chinese company, but I think it's not as effective from what I've heard or not. But maybe just kind of an overview of how businesses can make an official account in WeChat.
Yeah. Well, if you want to have an account which is visible from China, you actually need to have a local business license. There are some exceptions to that, but it's a rather complex process. For some companies, we manage to create accounts which are visible from China and which are created with a foreign business license. It's not easy, though. So the simple way to create an account in China is to have a local business license. Then once you have this business license, which can be yours or one of another company, you can actually start creating your account, and you have the choice between three types of accounts. One is not really relevant to marketing because it's called enterprise account. It's meant more for like internal management of companies. It has more limited access rights to make sure that you can control where information is going, who is able to read it. It's not easy to share content. So this is simply for more like Salesforce style internal management. Then you have two accounts which are used for marketing, subscription and service. Subscription is less visible. It's in a specific folder and can send one message per day. Service is more visible. It appears like a friend who would be sending you push notifications, and it can send four messages per month. On top of that, the service accounts have access to additional features such as, but not limited to, WeChat payment, geolocation, voice recognition, integration with connected objects, so on and so forth.
Cool. And I mean, this next question is almost kind of embarrassing because this could be a huge topic. But of course, somebody gets this account and then they want to get people to follow it. I know this is what you blog about and what you practice, but is there some kind of like short answer to this? Maybe just think of somebody with a smaller budget, or maybe just have somebody in-house that could try to help promote the account.
I think if you want to get fast growth, I think one of the questions which is interesting to ask yourself is, to which extent are you willing to break the terms of use of Tencent? Because awesome. There are some very, very efficient ways to actually generate growth. Viral marketing by providing incentives or discounts can be a great way to grow following fast. And a lot of people are doing it today. Is clearly breaking the terms of use of Tencent. And Tencent has algorithms which are tracking everything which is sent on WeChat and checking some specific keywords linked with incentivized sharing, people offering discounts or presents for reshares or likes or follows. So this is risky. But if you are willing to go this way and to do this type of viral campaigns, type if five of your friends add our account, then you can get a discount or something. Then it is actually a great way to get following fast with a rather limited budget. If you're not doing that, then unfortunately there is no big secret, especially if you don't have offline locations. If you do have offline locations, any offline presence, then this is actually also a great way to grow some qualitative following, because if you have people getting into your shops or any presence events in the real world, providing incentives during these events or in these tours is very difficult to detect for Tencent in terms of views. and is bringing you a very, very high quality following of people who have been exposed to you in real life. So this is actually a very great way to grow following with very limited investments. So this would be my two suggestions.
WeChat hacking.
Yeah, you need to find ways to somehow incentivize users without being too obvious about it. Of course, when we talk about our bigger clients, we have to be a bit more conservative. But when we work with smaller side companies, we often put these solutions forward, but we're still very transparent about the potential risk. But we also try to show the whole spectrum of possibilities in terms of marketing and what are the ones which might be high return and the ones which are a bit more conservative and safe. And I guess if you have a low budget and high ambitions, you have to go for the more risky road.
True. Just entrepreneur hustle, right? Like what we always sometimes deal with. So I have some other follow-ups on the marketing side. Some people maybe are listening are so small they don't have a company yet, or maybe they're overseas and maybe I've heard a lot of people being pretty effective just with groups and with maybe their own personal account. Is that, I guess that's what you have to do, right? If you're not able to get a license, is that something you would recommend?
I mean, it depends for what is your target for growth, right? If I think groups and personal is actually great, but if your company is five people, maybe you can go do it this way. If your company is 500 people, then it's getting a bit more challenging to sustain a business by groups and personal interaction. So, but this is definitely a massive market. As of Q1 this year, Weidian announced having about 30 million shops opened, so WeChat shops, just on one of the third-party providers of WeChat shops. So it means that the overall number might be much bigger. Of course, these are shops which are created, not necessarily active, but it kind of gives a feeling of the size of the social e-commerce on WeChat, and a lot of people are selling through WeChat
exactly. And
being extremely very successful doing so. So there is this really efficient channel, which is WeChat shops, but there is actually, it's not scalable. So
True. For
bigger companies, they will actually have to set up proper WeChat accounts, proper HTML5. WeChat shops via a personal account and via groups might be a great way to start and to kind of lean startup style test the market. But beyond that, there is a need to have something which is a bit more institutionalized, especially when it comes to like handling users' data, gathering and managing this data. This will quickly become unmanageable if you don't have a proper website which is able to handle customers and keep track of them.
Clear. Oh, yeah, I agree.
So, Thomas, obviously most of the users for WeChat are either Chinese or Chinese nationals in other countries. And question is, if your target audience are non-Chinese, would you still recommend using WeChat, or it's like there's no use?
The short answer is, maybe the only answer is, there is no use. We've been conducting some analysis of the expansion of WeChat outside China. The failure from Tencent to expand even in Southeast Asia has been quite spectacular. Actually, to track the, if you use as a proxy, the searches for the keyword WeChat in countries like Indonesia, India, Thailand, you can really see very clear peak of research of searches back 2 years ago. And then after WeChat stopped actively marketing, it just died down. And the interest in WeChat outside China is mostly non-existent. And I'm not just talking about Europe or the US, including in economies where Tencent is actively promoting and developing partnerships, because Tencent is with Foodpanda, with Easy Taxi, with a lot of startups in East Asia, it still has failed quite spectacularly, except maybe in a few economies which have a lot of Chinese speakers. So in Malaysia, Taiwan, Hong Kong, You will see in Singapore, yeah, exactly. You will see a higher level of adoption. It's still not great, but it's definitely the top economies for WeChat, and it's the one where it's actually at least maintaining some measure of growth, far from being explosive, but it's still is growing.
Yeah, like I was in Thailand a few months ago for a conference, and I forget the SIM plan I got, but I think it was maybe connected with China relations, and it said, "Oh, you have data limit, but if you use QQ or WeChat, it's unlimited data on those services." So I felt like they're trying to use that to maybe get people to use that service in Thailand.
So you're saying that the bottom line here, Thomas, for is you don't, if your target audience is not Chinese, don't use WeChat, at least not yet, I guess.
No, maybe never actually. I think these markets are really winner take all markets, and there is maybe not a space for WeChat to be second to Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp in Thailand. So, and actually, I mean, you have to give to Facebook and the acquired companies from Facebook that they've been doing a great job in the economies where they're present, and it's been going to be very, very difficult for WeChat to eat market share from Facebook. So outside China is the only case, of course, where you want to use WeChat outside of China is for cross-border. I mean, for like tourists which are going outside China and then are going to consume some products or services outside China and then pay via WeChat. That's a great application of WeChat outside China. But this is still targeting the China. It's just that you're targeting Chinese users when they happen to be outside China.
Got it. Okay, great. So Thomas, really appreciate this. And I guess I want to maybe think of one thing, maybe a listener. Let's say they're a medium-sized company in America. Maybe they're established brand there. Maybe the Chinese people know their brand, but they don't really have any presence here, don't have a company here. Maybe they're not even planning to have a company, but they want to do marketing. What would you maybe suggest? Is it worth making a company for WeChat just for marketing? Or, you know, a lot of times people decide maybe they're not going to sell here actively, but they want to do branding. Or maybe a more simple question is like, what should somebody do to get started with WeChat marketing, make an official account for a...
I think for a lot of companies, it's definitely worth it to start having a presence of WeChat as the initial investment might not be quite big if it's simply creating the account and having some moderate level of content created. Then it has to be clear that just having a WeChat account is not going to make a company successful in China. A WeChat account is a tool, but it's part of it has to be part of a broader strategy in terms of actually setting foot in China, which can be through other partnerships, which can be through setting up some local operations, which can be through also complementing this WeChat account with a presence on Jingdong, with interaction between WeChat and Jingdong, or some broader marketing plan. So we're not saying that simply creating a WeChat account is going to be enough to crack the Chinese market. It's a complex market, once again. But for companies which already have some Chinese clients who want to actually improve the level of service they offer to these clients, who want these clients to be able to share more easily with their friends or colleagues about the offer from this company, then definitely creating a WeChat account is not necessarily going to be the expense. And it's going to bring some potentially high levels of return on investment. So I think it's all about understanding where the company is today and how far are they from the Chinese market, how far are they from reaching Chinese clients, and then seeing what is the proper level of investment so that getting into WeChat come quite quickly. For companies which are very far, which never had any contact with Chinese customers or Chinese markets before, then it might be more complex to actually start generating sales.
So Thomas, thank you very much for all these great insights about WeChat. I hope our listeners learned a lot on how to at least get started in strategy on WeChat. But I guess you also need to let us know how they can get in touch with you and what's the best way, except of WeChat, actually.
Well, the easiest way would be our website, if not WeChat. Of course, WeChat is always the best way. We have our WeChat is Work the Chat, and it's the best way to get all our blog information and the new insights we might write, because we have a weekly newsletter and a weekly blog post. Otherwise, our website, workthechat.com, walkthechat.com, where you can find all the information about what we do, and you can write to us if you want to learn more.
Awesome, awesome.
Awesome, awesome. Thomas, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was great. It was great chat.
Great.
I feel like we will have to do another round at some point of maybe diving into deeper into other subjects regarding WeChat. So let's leave this open.
Anytime. And awesome. With great pleasure.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.